Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination and consume everything all across the grid. I'm wearing a jacket, and so is he. That is Donnie Wrightside, and I am Ben Stevens. We bring you professionalism on this Friday to set the stage for All-Star Weekend around the association, looking back on the final night of action in the NBA before the All-Star break. A triple header with shocking results in a historic night in college basketball. The superstar that is Caitlin Clark, now the all-time scoring leader in D1 women's college hoops history. And what a performance for the ages and the record books it was last night in Iowa City. DRS, let's get things rolling here on this Friday.
Yeah, let's do it here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, which, yeah, we have some big college basketball, not only tonight, Ben, but also during the weekend. UConn, a monster Big East tilt against Marquette. We'll get to that a little bit later. But also, I know we're going to talk about this in the 7-7. What's the deal with Milwaukee, Ben? Whoa, boy.
Well, when you hire a doctor who is not qualified, this is what you get. But we'll talk about that in just a moment. We start with history last night inside Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. Caitlin Clark needed just 8 points entering last night's game for the Hawks against the Michigan Wolverines to become the all-time scoring leader in Division I women's college basketball history. She got 8. And then added on 41, a career high and an Iowa program record, 49 points. That's 3,569 now in Clark's career. She is the all-time scoring leader in the history of Division I women's college basketball.
Absolutely incredible. And you take a look at the timeline there on that, too. Getting it right away, shooting from the logo, which was great. 49 points total overall. Oh, but she's a gunner, Ben. How about 16 of 31 from the floor, which included 9 of 18 from the three-point line and also 8 of 8 from the free throw line and chipping in with 13 assists and 5 rebounds as we welcome in the radio audience talking about a sensational, sensational night for Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes here. A runaway victory, a memorable night overall, and it was meant to be. Making that logo 3 for the actual record, Ben, absolutely tremendous.
She needed just 2 minutes and 12 seconds into the opening quarter. She took 3 shots. She made all 3 shots. 2 threes. That was the record breaker. It was the favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday at a minus 120 number. 2 minutes and 12 seconds into the game to become the all-time scoring leader in women's college basketball at the Division I level. Now Caitlin Clark only 98 points shy of Pistol Pete Maravich's record for the all-time scoring leader at the D1 level. Yes, there are the comparisons, 83 games for Pistol Pete, 126 now for Caitlin Clark, but we can celebrate both historic marks. As we stay in the Big Ten, oh, by the way, Iowa wins 106-89. We'll recap that in just a little bit. As we stay in the Big Ten, now on the men's side, the number 2 team in the country at home last night inside Mackey Arena, got a scare. The Minnesota Golden Gophers up by 10 very early on in the second half before the Boilers rally, winning 84-76. The Gophers, the best cover team in college basketball, do cover as a 15.5-point road dog in West Lafayette. Minnesota now 21-3 against the spread, but overall this year for Purdue, 23-2, now 12-2 in Big Ten action.
Would have been a massive win for Minnesota had they got that victory to pick it up from maybe one of those March Madness quad one victories here, which is so cherished because you take a look at a 6-7 record overall in Big Ten play for Minnesota. You need to get that above 500. But if you flip it over to Purdue, this is what you're supposed to do. Down at the break, don't panic, go on a run, take care of business, and get the victory, Ben.
And that is what they did. Speaking of double-digit leads that were coughed up, that's the story for the Golden State Warriors the last two nights. The Dubs were up by 18 entering the fourth quarter on the road in Salt Lake against the Utah Jazz. The Jazz came all the way back to cut the deficit to just one under 40 seconds left before Steph Curry hits a couple of free throws. Golden State ices it out. They win 140-137 on the road in Salt Lake. Entering the break, the Dubs have won six of their last seven. A 2.5-point number. Golden State covers.
Yeah, and by the way, 7 of 13 from three-point range. Love it, Steph. Thank you for cashing a ticket. Oh, wait, he didn't cash a ticket for me last night. It was actually Klay Thompson coming off the bench, who was terrible the night before, getting the 7 threes, but still a victory for the Golden State Warriors. But you're right. Maybe one of those things. Hey, stop blowing these big leads in the fourth quarter, but they were able to hang on for this one.
Klay Thompson off the bench for the first time since his rookie season way back in 2012, snapping a streak of 727 straight starts. Shout out to our stat man, Joe Friso, behind the scenes. Uh-oh, is there an issue in Milwaukee? Calling the doctor. His bedside manner, not all that great at the moment. Under Doc Rivers, 10 games for Milwaukee. Now entering the All-Star break, the Bucks are just 3-7, even last night as a 14-point road favorite in the Grind City against the very short-handed Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizz win outright 113-110 as that 14-point dog, and there are issues for those Bucks.
There are, and it seems like it's just Antetokounmpo and nobody else on that team as he dropped 35 points last night. I don't know what the deal with Damian Lillard is. Maybe he was better off playing in Portland where nobody was paying attention to how bad they were and he had no pressure. 3 of 13 from the three-point line. It's no longer every other game, Dame. It's every other game, Dame, where he steps up to the occasion. What a bad loss for Milwaukee heading into the break.
A terrible loss for the Milwaukee Bucks, but keep an eye on G.G. Jackson. A wild story. He reclassified. He was North Carolina's top commit. He goes to South Carolina last year as a 17-year-old. He is exploding onto the scene in his rookie campaign for the Grizz. Off the bench last night, he scores 27 points, 6 of 10 from deep. Now to the world of golf. His first PGA Tour start officially for Tiger Woods since the 2023 Masters. One over par in his opening round yesterday at Riviera in L.A. at the Genesis Invitational. But just big to see Tiger Woods back on the golf course. Patrick Cantlay is your round one leader.
And cashing tickets for us here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. A wonderful boost yesterday. A minus 280 boosted to a plus 100 for Tiger Woods to make three or four birdies in his opening round at the Genesis. He got that by hole number six. Cashing tickets here. Good to see Tiger back. Because why? Hey, we can make some money on him. And we did yesterday.
An interesting move yesterday in the NFL as the offseason approaches and free agency looms. The Seattle Seahawks are going to guarantee Geno Smith's salary for next year in 2024. There was some question if they would make that move. Geno Smith will remain in the Pacific Northwest under a new regime that still might look to get a new quarterback come the end of April.
Yeah, about $13 million guaranteed, which is good. That's solid starting quarterback pay here. But I think one more year for Geno in Seattle makes some sense. We'll see how they play. We'll see how they do. You actually got the 49ers, you know, the NFC champions, and also the Rams looking for the come up here. We'll see if the Seattle Seahawks can hang around, Ben.
The end of an era, but not for about five more years. Rob Manfred announcing yesterday he is going to step down from his role as commissioner at the end of 2029. Some baseball fans hoping that was probably a little bit sooner. We enter the zone, a college basketball recap on a historic night in Iowa City. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
History last night inside Carver Hawkeye Arena. We enter the zone here on this Friday morning to recap a historic night in college basketball and look forward to a huge weekend around the sport just about 4 weeks out from Selection Sunday. Caitlin Clark last night for the Iowa Hawkeyes needed only 8 points to become the all-time scoring leader in the history of Division I women's college basketball. She took just 2 minutes in 12 seconds, took three shot attempts, made all three, and launched a logo three that went down to become the all-time scoring leader, 3,528 career points, surpassing Washington's Kelsey Plum. But she did not stop there, DRS. She scored 49, an Iowa program record inside Carver Hawkeye to lead Iowa to a 17-point victory. Just bask at that stat line, the most significant stage of her career at this moment, with all the pressure, the eyeballs, and the notoriety. And Caitlin Clark is a superstar who delivers on all counts. 49 points, 13 dimes. Her Hawkeyes win 106-89. Do not cover slightly as an 18.5-point home favorite, but a total of 155.5. Skies to the over. History for Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, fun to watch it play out, too. How many times do we see, like, these type of situations where you want to get it wrapped up early, and she actually did? Or it could have been, hey, Ben, look, she already took 11 shots in the first quarter, but only 2 of 11 at that point, and hasn't gotten to the 8 points. The fact that she made a layup, followed by a triple, and then a logo triple to cash that in, to get that out of the way. Because the one thing that I believe that we were talking about with the Iowa Hawkeyes in their last loss was, hey, maybe we were worried a little bit too much about getting that points record here, and instead of just winning the basketball game. So in this game, they took care of very early getting that points number so you could focus on winning that basketball game. And she was tremendous all the way through. It's kind of a shame that she couldn't just find one more point to get a 50 spot in that moment. But when you look at that score line there, it might have been the best game she's ever played here. And also, it wasn't as if, like, okay, well, she made 9 3-point shots but took 37 3-point shots. 9 of 18 from the 3-point line is absolutely tremendous here, shooting over 50% for the game itself. She was tremendous last night in one of the biggest moments, and certainly a pressure-filled moment, because she knew all the eyes were on her last night, and she certainly delivered.
When you ask superstars to rise to the occasion, to match the level of expectation that we all set for them, and they do so in the most efficient manner, 3 field goals, 3 makes, and a logo 3 pull-up in transition, that is the definition of a superstar, and Caitlin Clark is every bit of that. 49 points, her career high. On her record-setting night, she had her 12th 40-point game of her Iowa career in 126 total games. That is the most 40-point games in the last 25 years in D1 college basketball, men's or women's. Nobody else has had more than 8 40-point games. The record books will be so long at the end of Caitlin Clark's career, we will just continue to add on and on and on. 13 dimes last night as well for her Iowa team that shot 18 of 35 from deep. Now, they got to be better on the defensive end, as Lisa Bluter mentioned last night, as Caitlin Clark even said as they interviewed her on the telecast walking in to the halftime locker room. But Iowa now fourth in the country, third best price to win a national championship at 8-1. South Carolina, by the way, Dawn Staley's crew on the road last night in Knoxville, the rivalry against Tennessee, they win by 10, 66-56. The South Carolina Gamecocks remain unbeaten, but did get a slight scare yesterday on the road.
Yeah, by the way, you know what's interesting about that, too? Just taking a look at the standings. The question, again, is going to be, is South Carolina going to be able to run the table in the regular season through the conference tournament, and then they could run into March Madness and get all the way through and win it? That would be impressive. They can do that. But we talk about so many times, Ben, it used to be in the past, only maybe one or two teams can actually win a national championship. Just take a look at the top 10 standings right now. South Carolina, Ohio State, Stanford, Iowa, Texas, Kansas State, NC State, Colorado, UCLA, and USC. We're not even getting to UConn here, who's actually ranked a little bit lower at 14th. The parity in women's college basketball is going to bring much, much more eyes to the game, because how many years was it, Ben? Why am I going to get excited for college basketball? Because UConn wins every game by 30 points. It's not a lot of fun. You got a lot of really good superstar level talented players and teams here that are going to make a run. I expect big time ratings here for the women's bracket come moving forward. I can't wait to actually watch it play out. And this is me saying this. I'm supposed to be the hater of all this, and we're going to have a great time with it.
I'm glad you are not, because we will continue to see history. And oh, by the way, Caitlin Clark now just 98 points shy of the all-time D1 scoring record set way back in the late 60s by Pistol Pete Maravich. There will be comparisons. What is the real record? Pistol Pete only did it in 83 games. Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes have four more regular season games, plenty to come in postseason action as well. We can celebrate both historic marks. It's not like everybody gets close each and every year, although Detroit Mercy's Antoine Davis fell just a point shy last year on the men's side. 98 points for a player that over her last 36 games is averaging 32 points per game. That is Caitlin Clark, a career best 49 last night. Oh, by the way, her points prop, 35.5. She goes well over that number on her historic and record-setting night. Now to Big Ten men's basketball. Number two team in the country, the Purdue Boilermakers, got a test last night inside Mackey Arena. It's been the story this year, Donnie, for the Minnesota Golden Gophers, an incredibly competitive team and by far the best cover team in all of college basketball. The Gophers now 21-3 against the number, a 16.5-point dog last night on the road in West Lafayette. They had a double-digit lead early on in the final 20 minutes in that second half. Ultimately, though, Purdue does rally to win 84-76. The Boilermakers now have won 9 straight games. They are 12-2 in Big Ten play, a 2.5-game cushion for that regular season crown in the top spot at this moment. But Minnesota does not make any game easy in Big Ten competition.
No, they certainly don't, Ben. And if you told me before the game, hey, you know what? They're going to shoot by volume from three-point range and make just about 50% of those. They shot 25 three-point shots and made 12 of those. You should be in that ballgame, and they were. The only problem was you flip it over on Purdue, who we know is the dominant big man down low. They also shot close to 48% from three-point range. That's a good win for the Boilermakers. And also, we start talking about some of these wins, Ben, right, as we head towards March Madness and the tournament itself. You want to have situations where you're down at the half so you can draw back on this. Because what's the problem with Purdue heading into March Madness? It's like, hey, we expect a big-time matchup in round number one against a team we should beat, and then we find adversity, Ben, and we can't get over that adversity. I love to see top-ranked teams go through adversity before they actually get to the tournament. I think that's going to be a benefit for them.
9 straight wins for the Boilers, 5th longest active streak in all of college basketball on the men's side at the D1 level at this moment. 12-2 in Big Ten play. They have covered in 7 of those 12 victories. Minnesota, meanwhile, they have covered in 7 straight, all booked as an underdog. Ben Johnson is starting to turn things around in the Twin Cities for Minnesota. Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Golden Gophers, not the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. We will see what exactly Minnesota's fate is for the NCAA tournament. They need a couple more quality wins, not just staying competitive in basketball games. And almost playing out in real time, we had John Rothstein on the show yesterday, of course, DRS, who mentioned the best lineup for Purdue features Mason Gillis, kind of opposed to Zach Edey. 14 points for Gillis last night, 4 of 8 from deep. And the difference this year for Purdue is the evolution of the freshman point guard now in his sophomore campaign, Braden Smith. 16 points, 9 dimes, 8 boards, almost a triple-double last night against Minnesota. So, yes, there will be questions about Purdue and their overall outlook come March. Right now, a co-favorite to win a national championship at plus 650 alongside UConn.
No doubt about it. And we're looking for a very good March Madness tournament coming up. And again, the questions will be there. If you think you have value on the Purdue Boilermakers, well, that's going to be interesting to look forward to because they've been bounced early. Is this one of those years you press that lever down and trust the Purdue Boilermakers? We'll find out for the rest of the part of the season, particularly in the Big Ten.
To the NBA level next around the association.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One more night of games in the association on a Thursday. We recap everything around the NBA as now it is the All-Star break and All-Star weekend in Indianapolis, the greatest sports hosting city in this country. Gosh. And if you're flying into Indy, make sure you get some runs on the basketball floor. We'll get to your takes on All-Star weekend, Mr. Right Side, in just a little bit. But we'll look back on last night around the association. Only 3 games, a triple header, but storylines across the board. We start in Salt Lake. The Golden State Warriors up by 18 points entering the fourth and final quarter. The Golden State Warriors, who had a 16-point lead at the halftime break, should have cruised for a second consecutive night to a victory. They dropped a double-digit lead against the Clippers two nights ago at home, second leg of a back-to-back in a change of venue on the road. They almost lost and coughed up an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter last night. The Utah Jazz came all the way back to cut the deficit to only one with about 40 ticks remaining in regulation. But Golden State holds on 140-137. Line closed at 2.5 in favor of the Dubs. So the hook giveth sometimes, and the Warriors do cover. Total of 240.5. Skies over. Golden State will enter the All-Star break, Donnie, one game above 500, 27-26 straight up. Golden State will enter the All-Star break winners of 8 of their previous 10 games.
And they needed that win, too. That's a big win. You take a look at both of these teams on back-to-backs, but you take a look at Golden State flying in for a back-to-back in Utah here. That was a tough one. We talked about the total yesterday. I actually was just saying, you know what? Before the All-Star break in elevation, both teams on a back-to-back, maybe lean towards the under in this game. They absolutely annihilated that total in the game, 140-137. But here's when you know you're running bad sometimes in the NBA with picking prop bets. I'm like, you know what? Steph Curry's been a maniac the past four games, shooting at least like 16 to 23-point shots per game. He's on fire. You know he's going to want to try to gas up. We only shot 8 3-point shots yesterday, making 2 of those. And then you take a look at the other guys in the starting lineup and realize Draymond Green made more 3-point shots than Steph Curry did last night, which is certainly a kick in the head at that point. So I thought Steph was going to have a big game, but it's nice to see that when Steph doesn't drop 41 points and only scores 16 points in a game, you can still win on a back-to-back on the road and take care of business here. I like that win for the Golden State Warriors. Sets them up for the second half of the NBA season, Ben.
The guy that made the most threes for Golden State came off the bench for the first time since 2012 in more than a decade. That was his rookie year out of Washington State, and his name is Klay Thompson. 7 of 13 from deep last night to lead the Warriors in scoring, 35 points, a vintage performance out of Klay from a new spot off the bench. Keontae George, the rookie out of Baylor, actually made the most threes last night in the game. He was 9 of 16 from deep for the Utah Jazz, who entered last night as the best cover team at home this year, now 18-9 against the spread. Golden State wins by 3 as a 2.5-point road favorite. They do cover the number. I mentioned they have won 8 of their last 10 games. The Dubs have covered in all 8 victories. And when you look at this Golden State team, 27-26, off to a slow start to begin the year. Steph Curry, not last night, 16 points, 10 dimes, but was on a heater, had scored 30-plus in 4 of the previous 6 games.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was banking on last night. Ride that hot hand right up to the All-Star break. It just didn't work out. But also, from somebody who bet the team total under on Golden State, I'm not happy about this little winning streak going in here to the break and the team starting to turn it around. I need them to start tanking games, which would have been nice if they tanked that game last night in Utah, which they didn't. And as I said, that's a good win for Golden State. Now above 500, getting those good vibes going for post-All-Star break action.
I thought we had a couple of Steph Curry props and graphs and boards and all that stuff. We'll talk about him later in his comp. Oh, there it is. Here we go. Stephen Curry under his number of 29.5 with just 16 points. Only 2 threes last night. Steph may be saving up the threes for All-Star weekend in Indianapolis. That's a great graph. We got to show cooking Curry when we get an opportunity to do so. A bar graph on a Friday. Donnie hasn't seen a bar graph since third grade arithmetic, but Stephen Curry may be saving up some of those threes for his head-to-head three-point competition on Saturday night against one of the WNBA stars, Sabrina Ionescu. They will go head-to-head. Steph Curry, a favorite, by the way, to win that matchup at minus 230. Give me the dog in Sabrina Ionescu at a plus 176 price.
By the way, let me ask you this question, Ben, because was it settled already? Because I saw it going around social media. Are they going to shoot from the same length, or do they not do that here? What is the actual target there? Is it both Sabrina and Steph from three-point range, NBA range, or no?
I believe it is officially, from the rules of this competition, Sabrina will shoot from the WNBA three-point line, Steph from the NBA three-point line, but Sabrina herself, Sabrina Ionescu, saying, I'll shoot from the NBA three-point line. I would rather do that. So I don't know what exactly is going to play out on Saturday in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I would like to see them both shoot there because, again, if Steph wins, that's what he's supposed to do. But if you take a look here at Sabrina and she shoots from NBA range, that would be tremendous because even in a loss, she probably would be the big winner.
If my producer, Joe Friso, can repeat what he said, where are they shooting from? Both NBA official from Joe Friso. He is the stat man.
Like
you can
this.
Trust
like
his
this.
Words. And again, I still like Sabrina Ionescu as the underdog. Sprinkle plus 176. All right. Back to last night's action. The final three games before the All-Star break. We're off until next Thursday. Not we here on the early line, but the NBA in general as we enter All-Star weekend. And what a result. It was in the Grind City. Milwaukee should have walked into Memphis last night as a 14-point favorite and got an easy road victory at bare minimum outright to maybe have some positivity entering the All-Star break where, oh, by the way, Doc Rivers is going to coach the Eastern Conference because Giannis is the captain for the Eastern Conference All-Star team. But under Doc Rivers, now 10 games for the Bucks. They are 3-7 after losing outright to the shorthanded Grizz last night. 113-110. Memphis wins outright as a 14-point home underdog.
And can we also tack on another loss in the All-Star game here for Doc Rivers when his Eastern Conference team, I do believe, loses a little bit
for
of
sure.
teaser for the end of the show today. But this isn't a great look. This is one of those games where you should be able to go out on Beale Street before the game, have a couple cocktails, have some ribs, and then go to the arena and absolutely hammer this Memphis Grizzlies team. And that didn't happen. And this is also a Memphis Grizzlies team, Ben, that came into the game like, hey, look, they're struggling this season, but they're really good at home. They were 6-20 on their home court coming into this game with unrecognizable names in the starting lineup, and you have all that superstar power. Something is amiss in Milwaukee, and maybe it's a good time here that they're coming up against the break to sort of reconvene, get a rest there for the team, and come back in that second half after the post-All-Star break. But that's one of the worst losses you are going to see an NBA team have this season, Ben.
One of the worst losses by far, and you have your superstar in the Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, putting up ridiculous numbers. 35 points on 15 of 17 shooting from the floor last night, as well as 12 dimes. Damian Lillard, the reigning three-point contest winner that will enter Indianapolis as the favorite to make it two straight, took 13 threes last night. He's getting in that practice based on volume. Only made three, but both he and Giannis had a plus minus in the starting lineup, or Giannis actually minus 14, Dame was plus 10. But when you look at the other side for the Grizzlies, of course, John Morant out for this year, Marcus Smart and Desmond Bane dealing with injuries. Jaren Jackson Jr. did not play last night either. So then you have two young stars, Zaire Williams, who scored 27 points in the starting lineup, hit four triples. G.G. Jackson off the bench, 27 points, hit six triples. Memphis without Ja Morant, now 19 games overall, booked as a dog in 18 of those 19 since the season-ending injury in early January. Memphis is covered in 12 of the 18 games as a dog, last night winning outright as a 14-point home underdog. And keep an eye on G.G. Jackson. Might end up being one of the steals of the 2023 NBA draft. An interesting college recruitment in very short stint in college basketball, but he is a star, and he is starting to show that right now. Now we go to the final game of the three last night in the NBA, out in Portland for the second time in 3 days. The Minnesota Timberwolves in the Rose City against the Trailblazers, and for the second time in 3 days, Minnesota wins by double digits, this time 128-91, a 37-point margin. The T-Wolves cover as a double-digit road favorite.
Yeah, we talked about this game yesterday, Ben, and heading into the All-Star break. Sometimes you don't want to lay this many points with a road team because maybe you're just looking forward to that All-Star break, and rightfully so. But the one thing you can lean your hat on here, that would be the Minnesota Timberwolves playing really good defense, holding the Portland Trailblazers under the century mark and limiting them to 91 overall points. 128-91. This is the Minnesota Timberwolves now solidifying themselves into the All-Star break as the number one overall seed in the Western Conference. I expected a big win, and I got it last night.
Yeah, a very big win, 128-91. 91. The T-Wolves have now covered in both of the games they played in Portland. When you look at Minnesota this year, 21-19-2 against the spread. Now the T-Wolves, 39-16. As Donnie mentioned, the best record in the Western Conference, second best record in all of the NBA entering the All-Star break. The T-Wolves now a cushion of a game and a half atop the Western Conference standings. That will be the thing I pay attention to most, Donnie, following the All-Star break. Where are Minnesota and Oklahoma City placed in terms of the odds entering a postseason push?
Yeah, and what I'm looking forward to here is how they close that season out, because again, we get back to teams that have been there, done that in the playoffs. These two teams haven't, but the one thing, that calling card you can lean on with Minnesota, is they play great defense, Ben. That is going to matter in the playoffs. I'm lifting up here towards Minnesota a little bit more than OKC for me, Ben.
34 points for Anthony Edwards last night to lead all scorers in that game as well. Plenty more coming your way here on the Early Line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is All-Star Weekend in the NBA in Indianapolis. We have officially reached the All-Star break around the association. Not the halfway point of this season. Pretty much every team around the league has played at least 53 games, most 54 and 55 as we enter the All-Star break. Now 6 days off until we return to actual regular season games next Thursday night in the NBA with the festivities this weekend in Indy. So we reset. And look at where the market is now compared to where it was on opening night way back on October 24th. Donnie, the story of this season, as we started to preview the 2023-24 NBA campaign, at least early on from the odds makers' perspective, was the group of four, the big four, the two teams out of the Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks, and the two teams out of the Western Conference, the defending NBA champs, the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns, all having the same prices out of the East, the two, and out of the West, the two, to win an NBA championship. Plus 380 for both the C's and the Bucks before the year, plus 550 for both the Nugs and the Suns. And then you got the drop-off to the Lakers at 13-1, the Warriors at 14-1, the Clippers at 27-1, sandwiched in between the Cavs, the Grizzlies, of course, there was hope for when John Morant returned, and the Dallas Mavericks. So that's where it was before the year got started. Now let's refresh those odds and go to where we stand right now entering the All-Star break. The Celtics remain the favorites, plus 260. The defending champs, the Nuggets, second best price, plus 440. The Clippers have now moved in front of Milwaukee, plus 550 for LA, and a 6-1 number on the Milwaukee Bucks. Everybody else, the Suns, and then the Lakers and the Dubs in a big way have moved back in this market.
Yes, and rightfully so. But if we're taking a look, let's just, again, compare the East to the West here. Coming into the season, what do we say? It's pretty much two front runners in the East. That would be the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, for most of the season, it was the Celtics number one, followed by the Milwaukee Bucks number two in the seeding process. But as we saw Milwaukee get tripped up last night, they drop into that third seed here in the Eastern Conference, which allows the Cleveland Cavaliers to jump up. Solid ball club. We'll see how they do the rest of the way. But I don't think we ever wavered on that. The only interesting thing here out of the Western conferences, we know how deep that conference is, but we're taking a look now and saying, okay, the number one seed, if it ended today, would be the Minnesota Timberwolves. The number two seed would be the OKC Thunder here. We didn't anticipate that coming into the season. We thought it might be, okay, the Denver Nuggets on autopilot. They'll carry that third division and also carry the conference. And then you take a look at teams like the Phoenix Suns here and also the LA Clippers if they got it together. But still sticking up top here are the Timberwolves and OKC. I'm interested to see how it plays out because it's easy to write off the East and say, when it's all said and done, the Eastern Conference Finals is probably going to be is going to be the Milwaukee Bucks going up against the Boston Celtics. The West is so wide open and so many great storylines all the way through that, as I told you in that previous segment, Ben, I'm starting to buy into Minnesota more and more by the day. Superstar power, great defense, and home court advantage. They might be able to do some damage here.
And they have a little bit of postseason pedigree, NBA play-in tournament the last few years, and then last year the eighth seed in the Western Conference playoffs. Yes, they lost in five games to the eventual champs in the Denver Nuggets, but you got to put those building blocks in place. More postseason pedigree than even Oklahoma City. Those are the two teams at the top of the Western Conference right now. Minnesota 39-16, Oklahoma City 37-17. Not far behind the Clippers, not far behind that. The Nuggets, a half game are the Clippers behind Oklahoma City. A game and a half are the Nuggets behind OKC for that second spot as well. That's the top of the Western Conference, and Phoenix still in that fifth spot right now, six games behind Minnesota for that top spot, but 11 games above 500 at 33-22. I bet the Suns at a 12-1 number a couple of weeks ago to win the NBA championship because I believe they are trending in the right direction. A slow start to this year, injury marred. The big three had not really played together. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal in the Valley. Now they're all back together, and the form is starting to show that. That's going to be the really big key to follow throughout the home stretch of this NBA season, Donnie. When do the results and the performances for those young upstarts, if you will, in Minnesota and Oklahoma City match up with the odds board? Because as you look at those current odds right now, both the Thunder and the T-Wolves, 22-1 for OKC to win the NBA championship. Somehow Minnesota, who has a shorter price to win the West, has a longer price to win the title at 24-1. Both of those teams still behind the Nuggets, the Clippers, and the Suns.
Yeah, and it's great points that you bring up here, too, because, again, we're all on that same playing field saying, well, what is it going to turn into once we get to playoff basketball? Are one of these teams going to fold? Is just a great regular season run? We talk about games or lineup, if you equate it to the NFL. Baltimore is an unbelievably good front-running team in the regular season. But when you get them into a one-on-one playoff where you got to knock them out, teams have been able to do so. But also in the NBA, it's not just a one-game playoff, Ben. You're talking about a seven-game series. So if we're saying to ourselves, in a series where you're not playing back-to-back, you're not flying into new cities here, both teams are going to be on equal rest and ready to play and maybe not injured here, you take a look at those veteran teams like the Clippers against and the Phoenix Suns as well. Because again, you're not talking about beating them one game here. You got to knock off Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and also Devin Booker in a seven-game series and beat them four times. That's going to be hard to do. And you see teams fighting for their playoff lives right now. The Los Angeles Lakers, the Golden State Warriors, veteran-laden teams that, yes, you can beat them on a night-to-night basis, but in a seven-game series, you got to knock LeBron James out by beating him four times, which you saw last year wasn't so easy as they made a run to the Western Conference Finals.
Right.
I think that question we are going to ask, Ben, right up until the playoff start. But again, I'm starting to believe a little bit more in the Minnesota Timberwolves here as they can be that team that goes, hey, home court advantage, yeah, sign us up for this. Star players, yeah, we got that. Big guys that can rebound and play defense, yep, check the boxes all the way through. I want to see how they do in the playoffs, but rightfully so, people are going to question them until they actually get it done and make an extremely deep run in the playoffs.
As you mentioned, Donnie, when you look at the Western Conference, much more jumbled than it is out East. We'll look at the Eastern Conference in just a moment. But if the season ended today, the Lakers as the 9 seed, the Golden State Warriors as the 10 seed in the Western Conference standings would play each other in a play-in tournament game that would be elimination for one of the sides, and the other would have to win another game to even be one of the final eight standing in the Western Conference playoffs. Both teams right now enter the All-Star break at a 50-1 number. Golden State, courtesy of winning eight of their last 10 games, now one game above 500, 27-26. The Lakers will take a three-game win streak into the All-Star break. They are four games above 500 at 30-26. So as we look at the Eastern Conference, the best team by far in the sport right now is the Boston Celtics, 43-12 straight up this year. The only team in the NBA that's hit the 40-win benchmark so far, and they have three more on top of that with 43. A six-game cushion, Donnie, for the C's atop the Eastern Conference standings. And yes, we're at 55 games on average, or pretty much for most of the league here at the All-Star break. And so there is still 27 more that we have on the other side. But with a six-game cushion, with about 27 games remaining in the NBA's regular season for those Eastern Conference supremacy, Boston already has a margin that you would think would lead to home floor advantage and that number one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah, and it looks like they're going to be able to do that and also have that luxury heading down the stretch where if you have a 5, 6, or 7 game lead over the number 2 seed Cleveland Cavaliers or maybe it's the Milwaukee Bucks, you can rest some of those starters down the stretch, which includes Kristaps Porzingis, to make sure you're full gas and ready to go. The interesting comments that always come up, though, is that rest versus rust that we talk about, because you like to have those knives sharpened heading into the playoffs, which means, hey, we had to battle those final 2 weeks in a dead heat with, let's just say, the Milwaukee Bucks, and we claimed home court advantage. Now we're ready to go. So maybe it's one of those where it's like, hey, the final 3 weeks of the season don't mean that much to us, and you can get stunned in the first round of the playoffs by a team that was battling all the way through just to face you. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, and we're playing a lot, Ben, here of devil's advocate, but the initial question here, Boston is the best team, and it's by a wide margin. If they are healthy in the playoffs, good luck knocking them out.
The Celtics are approaching even money in the Eastern Conference title odds, plus 115, entering the All-Star break. Again, a 6-game cushion right now over the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Cavs who have played 53 games, 36-17, second-best record out East. Of course, the top four will host an opening round playoff series. And that's really been the change for me, Donnie. The teams behind Boston in the Eastern Conference odds, and then, of course, to win an NBA championship. And we need to start with the Milwaukee Bucks. 3-7 now under Doc Rivers. An embarrassing defeat last night against the shorthanded Memphis Grizzlies on the road. Milwaukee booked as a 14-point road favorite, and they lose outright by 3. Giannis putting up MVP-like numbers. 35 points, 15 of 17 from the floor last night. 12 dimes, and yet even with Damian Lillard, this Milwaukee team looks a little bit lost. Now, the record is not terrible by any means, nor was it under Adrian Griffin. 35-21, the mark for the Bucks entering the All-Star break, still third best in the Eastern Conference. Doc Rivers will coach the Eastern Conference in the All-Star game because at the time of the All-Star teams being announced, the Bucks had the second best record in the East, and Joe Mazzulla was the head coach last year for the Seas. He can't do it 2 consecutive seasons. It's all of the narratives and the pictures, Donnie, we will see in Indianapolis that kind of encapsulates the opening part of this season that has been good but also kind of a disaster in Milwaukee.
Yeah, still some time to get it together, but there's no longer you can use this, hey, well, they have to take some time to play together. They played 56 games so far in the season with Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. You should have things where, okay, I want the ball at crunch time. Here's where you like the ball. Do you like to stay at the three-point line when I'm down on the low block? All that should be already worked out by now. You fired a head coach that you didn't think could get you over the hump and hired a veteran guy who – quite frankly, struggles getting teams over the hump and is known to blow big leads in the playoffs and not be that mastermind, let's call a timeout, I'm going to draw up the game-winning play. And it looks like that's already bearing fruit right now as he's 3-7 overall as the head coach. It's a superstar-laden team that I don't know if they made the right decision. And also, Ben, this wasn't an interim label like, okay, we're going to fire a young coach, just bring a vet in here, let's guide this through the rest of the season, and then we'll find our coach in the offseason. They basically hired Doc Rivers as the savior of the franchise to resume maybe winning a championship, and I don't think that's going to be in play at this point. And the worst case scenario, which is what's bearing its head right now, Ben, Giannis is playing fantastic basketball and they're losing games. That's a disaster scenario.
This is not Mark Daigneault, who everybody knows is the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is Doc Rivers. This is not an up-and-coming head coach looking to make his name. It's a head coach that everybody knows that has a long history after leaving Boston in 2010 of not doing anything of note and worth with his teams in terms of winning a conference championship or, of course, that Larry O'Brien trophy as the title winners in the NBA. Also should be noted, Donnie, now the team sandwiched in the middle of Boston, Milwaukee all the way through are the Knicks and the Cavs in front of the 76ers. Philadelphia was right there, only a couple of dollars behind both Boston and Milwaukee in the East for most of this regular season. Those three teams, the only three teams that had three digits in their price to win the Eastern Conference crown. Now, because of the injury to Joel Embiid, the Sixers have moved back. They will also enter the All-Star break, losing 9 of their previous 12 games. We will have plenty more around All-Star weekend in Indianapolis, what it means in the association. But next, an interesting interview yesterday with a Major League Baseball World Series champion in Lorenzo Cain here on the grid. Come back and join us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out this opening hour of a Friday Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. I don't know if you've seen, but we do have pitchers and catchers reporting for spring training out in Arizona, down in Florida. Baseball is getting close. And Donnie and I love having Craig Mish on each and every day for the most part, our Major League Baseball insider. He's an insider because he's in with the big people in the sport of MLB, including former World Series champions and Royals legends like Lorenzo Cain. Craig Mish caught up with Lo Cain yesterday about the big 11-year deal KC just handed to Bobby Witt Jr.
You know, right now, the Royals are one of those teams, Lo, that when I talk to, like, other players and you know, teams and agents, they're all telling me they're so proud of the Royals for doing everything that they have done in the offseason. And that also includes extending Bobby Witt Jr. I know you're familiar, obviously, with him. That's a big number, right? $288 million to secure a player.
Yeah. Bobby Witt, well deserved. Happy for him. I'm happy he got paid. I mean, he's the kind of player that you lock up long term. He's a player that can do a little bit of everything. He's that all around player. He can swing the bat, hit for power, steal bags, play excellent defense. So if they're gonna lock up any player, he's definitely deserving because, like I said, he can do a little bit of everything, and that's the kind of guy you want on your team, and you want that type of presence in your lineup and in your locker room for a long term.
Lorenzo Cain knows doing a little bit of everything as well for the Kansas City Royals, the Milwaukee Brewers in his time. Bobby Witt Jr., Donnie, 11-year deal, $288 million, one of the bright stars in Major League Baseball out in the American League. He is going to stay in KC for quite a good bit of time.
About time here. So he's not just going to be a feeder system there for Kansas City to shoot it over. But by the way, shout out to Lorenzo Cain here, filming in his car on a clear connection that looked like it was coming through in HD. Man, we are improving things here, Lo Cain. Fantastic job.
Probably at his son's baseball game, as is the backdrop for a lot of our guests. Hour number two starts in less than a minute.